بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. This is the second meeting on discussing Al-Hafidh Ibn Hajar's نخبة الفكر. The author رحمه الله said: أما بعد، فإن التصانيف في اصطلاح أهل الحديث قد كثرت وبسطت واختصرت. The author رحمه الله said: أما بعد. It proceeds then that writings concerning the conventional nomenclature in the terminology of the people of Hadith or by the scholars of the Hadith became many, and some detailed and some summarized. The author here said, أَمَّا بَعْدُ. It proceeds. This is a statement that comes normally when the person wants to, when the person finishes an introduction and wants to get into the subject. He says, أما بعد. It proceeds then. He said that the writings, the authorship concerning the hadith terminology increased, and as to those who first authored in this ilm, in this knowledge, there's difference of opinion as to who was the first. Some of them mentioned that it was Al-Imam al-Shafi'i was the first to write in this concerning this subject in his books. Others are with the opinion that Al-Imam, the scholar Ali bin al-Madini, rahimahumullah, all since he most of his works were centered upon the hadith, and others mentioned or saw that it was al-Imam al-Tirmidhi in his various writings. So this is concerning the ikhtilaf, the difference of opinion as to who first wrote in this subject. The subject is the hadith, the second imam's, Ali bin al-Madini. Ali bin al-Madini. Concerning the hadith terminology, we came to understand, yes, that it is knowledge concerning the status of the narrator and the narrated, the text meaning, from the angle of acceptance and the angle of rejection, not from the angle of relation to the rulings. I'll repeat that the hadith, the mustalah of the hadith, the study of the convention of the hadith and the hadith nomenclature is focused upon knowing the status of the narrator as well as the status of what is narrated, meaning the text. in relation to acceptance or rejection, not in relation to rulings. Rarely it is that the people of hadith convention or hadith terminology or in nomenclature, rarely you find them focusing on the fiqh of the hadith, on the fiqh of the hadith in terms of the relation to the rulings. And however, the ummah is in need of both, is in need of the convention and terminology, and also is in need to the knowledge of fiqh, understanding the hadith, and in relation to rulings. That is because the fiqh of the hadith stems first from whether it is affirmed to be a hadith or not. And this cannot be understood or determined without knowing this convention and nomenclature of hadith. The status of the narrator, the status of the narration, from the angle of acceptance or rejection. And this is a knowledge which the person needs to learn at an early age. That is because it is dependent upon having good memory. Having good memory. Especially concerning the status of the narrators, the status of those narrating. And that's why the people of knowledge incite the seekers at an early age to begin memorizing the hadith and hadith conventions and terminologies and the status of men of narrations. And also because with respect to the other section, which is the fiqh of the hadith, the understanding of the hadith in terms of the ruling, this is something focused that is focused upon intelligence and smartness. It requires that in order to determine the ruling. Then, Al-Hafidh Ibn Hajar, rahimahullah, mentioned that the first right concerning the terminology was the judge or al-qadi Abu Muhammad al-Ramahu al-Muzi, I will write his name, who died in 360 after Hijrah. But he did not, in his book which is known الفاصل بين الراوي والواعي. الفاصل بين الراوي والواعي. This is the book which he authored. But as Al-Hafidh Ibn Hajar mentioned, this author did not fully discuss all the conventional nomenclature of hadith. Then after that came Al-Hakim Abu Abdullah al-Naysaburi, who died in the year 405, and he authored his book which is called Ma'rifatu Ulum al-Hadith. His book is called Ma'rifatu Ulum al-Hadith, knowing the convention of hadith. He, however, did not organize it properly, rahimahullah. He was followed by Abu Nu'aym al-Asfahani, who added to al-Hakim's book, and then he was followed by al-Khatib al-Baghdadi, al-Khatib Abu Bakr, who died in the year 463 after Hijrah. And he authored concerning the canons of narration. He authored his book, which is called Al-Kifaya fi Ilm al-Riwaya, the sufficiency in the knowledge of narration. And this book is filled with cases and verification of cases regarding this knowledge. And this is considered from the best sources of this ilm. It's considered from the best sources of this ilm, his book Al-Kifaya fi Ilm al-Riwaya. Those who came after him benefited greatly from his works, from this foundation, the sufficiency in the knowledge of narration by Abu Bakr, Al-Khatib Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, rahimahullah, wa rahimallahu ulama al-Islam. Then after him came Al-Qadi Iyad, rahimahullah, who died in 544 after Hijrah. And he wrote his book known as Al-Ilma' ila Ma'rifati Usul al-Riwaya wa Taqyid al-Sama'. And this book is not comprehensive concerning the matters of the convention of hadith. Rather, it is limited in its aspects to the presentation of hadith and the like. Then after him came Abu Hafs al-Mayamidi, and he wrote a treatise called Ma La Yasa'u al-Muhaditha Jahlu, that which the Muhaddith, master of hadith, cannot be ignorant of. So from this we know that the books of hadith can be categorized into two sections or two categories. One that is a summary, and that with some which is at length, comprehensive. Why some were summarized? In order that they can be easily memorized. And why some are in details? So that they can be easily understood and cases can be detailed. Until the coming of the Hafiz Al-Faqih, the master and the faqih, scholar of fiqh, Taqiyuddin Abi Amr Uthman ibn Salah, and he died in 643 after Hijrah, rahimahullah, and he wrote the best book concerning the convention of hadith. And he mentioned therein 65 kinds of the aspects of this knowledge. And he lived in Damascus, and he taught hadith in the Ashrafiyya school, he taught this book of his, which is known as Ulum al-Hadith. Ulum al-Hadith. The various aspects of knowledge concerning Hadith. And he benefited a great deal and expounded on Al-Khatib Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi's book, which we mentioned earlier. So in his book, it was comprehensive, and people gave it their best consideration and expounded on it, and some summarized it, and some wrote discussions on it. So many books were authored concerning his book and based upon his book, Ulum al-Hadith by Taqiyuddin Abi Amr Uthman ibn al-Salah rahimahullah. And many were in support, and there were also those who were critical, opponent. Can we say that Ibn Salah cannot be opposed? No. Because the reference is to that which is necessitated by the evidence. So this is the criteria. And it doesn't mean, therefore, that anyone who is critical, that he is rightly so. The opposite is also true. How many stood in support of a alim and they were wrong in their support? They erred in their support. That is because always we should have the reference to be the truth. When the people of knowledge differ. Otherwise, the scholars may have those who support them, and they may have those who may oppose them. Not only oppose them. There are famous scholars who are even insulted. Insulted in their knowledge, and insulted in their deen, in their religion, insulted in their situation, yet they were from the best of people. That's why we find Shaykh al-Islam, for example, Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, he was called a kafir. He was called a kafir by his opponents. Even there are those, or there were those, and still there are those who say that Shaykh al-Islam, that whoever says about Ibn Taymiyyah being Shaykh al-Islam and gives him this title of Shaykh al-Islam, then he is a kafir. They impute kufr, disbelief, if you say about Ibn Taymiyyah that he is Shaykh al-Islam. Not only that, they accuse Shaykh al-Islam unjustly that he resembled Allah to his creation, and that one day he came to Damascus and gave a sermon, and that he said that Allah, the Most High, descends to the lower heaven like my descent from this pulpit, so he stepped down from the high level to the lower level of the pulpit, and they fabricated this story to say that Shaykh al-Islam makes resemblance of Allah to his creation. And this was a fabricated lie by his opponents, but Allah exposed them. And we know that Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah stood firm in affirming Allah's names and attributes, but he did not go for any kind of resemblance of Allah to his creation. and he denounced all of that, all those who do that, in all of his books. But it is certain, as you know, that the stronger the person, he becomes in terms of establishing the religion of Allah and defending it, then the stronger his enemies will be. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Al-Furqan, chapter 25, verse 31, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَا لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍّ عَدُوًّا مِنَ الْمُجْرِمِينَ. Thus we have made for every prophet an enemy among the politicians, criminals, sinners, but sufficient is your Lord as a guide and helper. Anyone who takes the position of the prophets in his call to Allah, then he will have enemies from the criminals, from the mushriks, from the people of desires, from the deviants, without any doubt. That is because the children of Adam, 999 will be in hell, and one will be in paradise from the 1,000. So it's inevitable that the people of ilm will be opposed and be criticized, but the criteria must be the truth. And the truth, since it is the criteria, then it is the one that will prevail. As al-Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said in his poem, الحق منصور وممتحن فلا تعجب فهذه سنة الرحمن. The truth is victorious and it is tested, so don't be amazed. This is the sunnah, this is the way of Ar-Rahman, the most merciful, the beneficent subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then after Ibn al-Salah, Al-Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah authored his book concerning the convention of hadith, which he called it At-Taqribu wa-Taysiru ila ma'rifati Sunan al-Bashir al-Nadhir. He died in 676, Al-Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah. And this is a treatise, and it is taken from Ibn al-Salah's book, classical book, which we mentioned earlier, a summary of it actually. So therefore the people of knowledge exerted the effort concerning this ilm, this knowledge of hadith, the knowledge of the men and the regulations and mechanisms which would make the hadith acceptable or rejected. And the author expounded books and also summarized in this field, the field of Mustalah al-Hadith. And Al-Hafidh Ibn Hajar rahimahullah then said, the reason why he authored his book we are discussing now, he said, فَسَأَلَنِي بَعْضُ الْإِخْوَانِ أَنْ أُلَخِّصَ لَهُمْ المهم من ذلك فأجبته إلى سؤاله رجاء الاندراج في تلك المسالك. الله أكبر. He said, some of the brothers asked me to summarize the important matters of this knowledge from what has been written. فأجبته إلى سؤاله. So I responded positively to their request, hoping that I will be included amongst them. Amongst whom? Amongst those people of knowledge before him. Allahu Akbar. So he wrote these papers. Why? In order to put together that which may have been dispersed from the earlier writings. And so that it can be an easy summarized reference. And he said, سميتها, and I called it, نخبة الفكر في مصطلح أهل الأثر. The choice of thoughts concerning the convention of hadith nomenclature by the scholars of hadith. And he gathered in it the benefits which may have been dispersed. And here there is a point of benefit we want to add, that anyone who is serious about seeking ilm and knowledge should always write down the points of benefits which he may encounter, which he may hear, which he may read. With him there should be a notebook to record that, and there will be abundant good in that. Because many times a person says, I will record it in my memory. But then after a while, he forgets. He remembers that he had something about this matter, but he forgets. Where did he put it? Did he record it or not? The solution is easy. He should have a small booklet with him, a pocket book. Or even, nowadays, a recorder. A small recorder from these electronic recorders where he by can record it audially and refer to it if he wants to transcribe. And Al-Hafidh bin Hajar, when he made his book, he also resorted to explaining it. He explained his own book. And look at his humbleness when he said he would hope that he will be considered among those who wrote in this path, rahimahullah. And he is Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar, and everyone knows who is Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar, and he wants to be considered from those scholars who took that path. So how about us? How about us? نسأل الله العفو والعافية والسداد. After this introduction, the author rahimahullah began his book. He began explaining the hadith nomenclature, and this will be the topic of the third lecture on this matter. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this a benefit for myself and for all of you, a benefit in this world and in the hereafter. Alhamdulillah alladhi bi ni'matihi tatimmu as-salihat wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama taslima kathira.